are Faces of Love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Sweet to get home on time.
Against my better judgment.
Never mind your judgment, you're here. Mm. Oh, your face is cold, darling. Mm. Mm. Oh, that wasn't much of a kiss.
Oh. That better?
A little.
Holly, you know I don't agree with what you're doing.
What's there to disagree with? I simply asked Eric Pomeroy to come for cocktails. Mm. He's my favorite unattached young man, and we haven't seen him since the holidays.
Holly.
Well, it's so, isn't it?
You're all woman, Holly. You do something first and justify it afterwards.
That is male chauvinism.
It is also true. Well, how soon is Eric getting here?
Any minute.
What's the strategy? Sit him down, hand him a drink, and ask him where Kate is?
Don't you give me any credit for tact.
Too much. Well, I'll be glad to see Eric, but if you ask me, you'd better forget your ulterior motive.
I didn't ask you, darling, because you make me sound like a meddlesome old witch.
They don't come built like you, honey.
I'm just trying to be a good friend, Ned. I promised Tony I'd keep an eye on Kate. She's left town, and I haven't any idea where
she is. Holly, the trouble with you
now, don't say it. I know I'm foolish.
A little. But your heart is too big. We'll have a nice drink with Eric, but don't try to keep that promise to Tony. Wherever Kate's gone, she wants it that way. Oh, there he is. Now, just take my advice, Holly, just this once. Eric, good to see you, boy.
Hello, Ned.
Eric, darling, it's been too long.
Much, Holly. You're beautiful as ever.
You hear that, Ned?
I tell her that regularly, Eric, but it takes younger blood now. Well, go on in. Here, let me have your coat.
Thank you.
Is it snowing again?
No, absolutely clear. The city's sharp as a diamond.
You have always had a streak of poetry, Eric.
Don't let her lull you into any false security, Eric. My wife has a not very devious purpose this evening.
Holly, my dear lady, I've been expecting this ever since I called you for Kate Wakefield's telephone number.
You have?
You are as protective as a mother lioness. I expected to have to give an accounting.
Oh, Eric, that isn't it at all.
I know very well she's Tony Cushing's special friend.
She wouldn't thank you for that, Eric.
I amend the statement. I know very well, but don't fully appreciate that Kate is not interested in me. Mm. But she wanted a certain information that I could give her.
Do you know where she's gone?
Yes, of course. I saw her at the airport. I was going to Washington, but my office called me back.
Well, now you're getting somewhere, Holly.
I am not a snoop, Eric. But I made a sort of a promise to keep an eye on Kate.
I wish you had. It's too late now.
Well, where is she?
She arrived in Kingston, Jamaica, I'd say about 4 hours ago.
Oh, well, that's marvelous. Just the same, I wonder why she didn't tell anybody.
I don't think it's a holiday for her.
Oh, business?
She's going to a place called Glory Point.
Oh, that's new to me.
It's just a point of land on the southwest coast, but it happens to be near the Pomeroy family's ancestral home, if you can call it that.
Your family, Eric?
I have no family. I have a second cousin, Louis Pomeroy, who lives there with his aunt, my great aunt, Ellen Pomeroy.
And Kate's visiting them?
I don't think so. But that's where she's going, Glory Point.
Well, it might be very nice for her. Is it one of those old great houses, as they call them down there?
It used to be, in a way. Cousin Louis ran the plantation into the ground. I thought the whole place would go, but he found some way of holding on to it. God knows how.
And your Aunt Ellen?
She's the nearest thing to a great lady I ever knew. Unfortunately, time has taken its toll. She remembers the past better than the present. Cousin Louis takes advantage of that.
You don't give your cousin Louis very high marks.
My second cousin Louis. I don't find him admirable.
A matter of personal taste?
A matter of personal history, Ned.
But it would be pleasant for Kate to visit.
I wouldn't say so. Kate might go out to see Glory Point, but I doubt she'd be asked to stay at the house. Cousin Louis doesn't welcome guests.
Is he an invalid?
Not at all. He's a rather thin, wiry man. At least last I heard.
Well, I take it you don't think Kate would be well advised to visit them.
I know Kate very slightly. I don't know what her motives are, but I don't think she's a girl to get flighty ideas. I do think if she goes to the house, she won't stay. No one does.
But he wouldn't be unpleasant to her, this second cousin of yours.
Lewis? On the contrary. If he had a reason, he could be all charm. Many women have found him attractive. I can only hope she won't meet him.
Almost at Glory Point, Mrs. Wakefield.
Oh, I wish I could see something. It's gotten so dark.
The sun sets early at this time of year. You know this part of Jamaica?
Only from the sea.
Oh?
My late husband and I did some sailing along this coast.
Must have been very pleasant. Don't you think after 3 hours driving I might be called Lewis?
Well, I like first names, too. I'm Kate.
I know.
How?
When our real estate agent Hadley in Kingston called, he spoke of you as Kate Wakefield. You know, of course, that my aunt and I have taken our house off the market.
Yes, we were told.
And I'm glad we understand that. I thought perhaps you were coming to, shall we say, try to change our mind.
I wouldn't think of it, Mr. Pomeroy.
Lewis?
Lewis. So, this is just a personal trip for me.
Then we are indeed happy to welcome you. We've turned off the highway. This is the beginning of our private road. You spoke of sailing along this coast. You must have seen the house sometime.
No, I didn't. I didn't even know there was a house here.
It's set back from the point where the land dips. But it backs on the sea to the west. If you sailed close to the shore on that side, you could catch a glimpse of it.
Well, I guess I just didn't know where to look.
And your husband never spoke of it?
No.
I ask only because it's an odd coincidence that you should come to Glory Point if you know nothing about it.
Well, it's sort of a sentimental journey. My husband and I spent some happy time sailing along this coast.
I'm sure you did.
Oh, are we here?
Not quite, but the road isn't good. I keep it that way to discourage intruders.
It is dark, isn't it?
We're driving beneath bamboo now. If we stopped, you could hear it. The foliage rustles.
I do hear something.
That's the surf. It comes in rather heavily on the west. We have no reef barrier.
Oh, I remember. Tom was always very careful when we came to the point.
He was wise. The big fish come in quite close on that side.
I remember.
What?
No, I remember Tom saying that. It's surprising, you know, even driving in the dark like this, how much I'm beginning to remember about Jamaica. Oh, what's that light?
The house. We make one more curve and then you'll see it. We have a good many trees around it.
It is very old, isn't it?
It was built in 1622. The walls are 3 feet thick.
How interesting.
Kate, will you forgive my curiosity?
About what?
Well, it struck me as rather odd that you seem to know Glory Point so well, that you talk about your husband. And yet, during all this drive, you've not asked if we knew him.
Well, I've just gotten here.
Well, let's both be candid. I assure you it will make your visit more agreeable.
Did you know Tom Wakefield?
I'll answer with a question. Is that why you come here?
I had several reasons. What's that?
Just our guard dogs. They're trained to bark when the gate bell rings. So, you've come with a purpose, Kate.
Oh, is that the house?
Yes, we keep only one wing lighted.
Lewis, tell me, was my husband ever here?
Perhaps you should tell me. Welcome to Glory Point, Mrs. Wakefield.
The This is your roving reporter, about to interview a nose.
How do I look?
You're not on TV, nose. This is for radio.
But how do I sound?
Pretty stuffy. Why don't you use four-way nasal spray?
Is four-way balitic bread?
Not yet, nose.
Then why should I use it?
Because you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way nasal spray. And four-way can cost a lot less than the leading brand. A lot less. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast. You can interview me now.
Thanks, nose, but I just did.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytril and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytril in the 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytril carton to Daytril, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735, and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytril now and get a dollar back. Faces of Love has been brought to you by Daytril, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Ladies, gentlemen, it gives the writer of these words, myself, William Makepeace Thackeray, gives me little pleasure to report that news of Napoleon's escape from Elba was received by His Majesty's troops with fiery enthusiasm and delight, especially the gallants of the Horse Guard. From Colonel, the smallest drummer, all in the regiment are filled with patriotic fury. They thank the Emperor Napoleon as for a personal kindness in returning to disturb the peace of Europe. Let us look in upon George Osborne. No longer Lieutenant Osborne, but Captain by purchase. In his quarters at Chatham Barracks, he ties his new uniform, turning and leering, preening and posturing. By Jove, it becomes me. I say, Captain, splendid looking fellow you are. Oh, there, Osborne! Well, now, quite the Beau Brummel, huh?
Captain Osborne, Captain Dobbin.
No, right you are. Epaulettes, sash, gloves, sword. Look well, eh? Papa paid out quite a sum for all this, he did.
Handsome is as handsome does, Captain.
You may be sure I'll fight handsomely. I'll show my comrade at arms I'm a braver soldier as ever England knew. Count on it, Dob. I'll have more pluck and valor than any chap in the regiment.
Don't doubt it, my boy. But I'm not talking of war. I'm talking of Emmy.
Emmy?
Handsome is, as handsome does, toward little Amelia Sedley.
You talk of private matters at a time like this. Good gad, man, I'm occupied with preparations for the march. When think you it will come?
No, inevitable. But when? Don't know, can't guess. Do know there's time to talk of Emmy. Past her house, George. Closed. They've gone. Bills are posted up for auction.
So soon, huh?
You knew?
The old gentleman bankrupt, yes, Papa told me.
And?
And what?
You're not cast down.
I tell you, I've no time to think on it. War, sir. War at our very door.
Damn it, we're not marching today, tomorrow, the next day. Will you, for God's sake, give that sweet girl some thought? Our gold epaulette's more important than her.
Don't be an ass. All France is called to arms to defend that Corsican upstart. All Europe called to arms to oust him. They're set in motion, and so is the British army, of which you and I, in case you forgot, are His Majesty's officers. Now, 'tis the time we've long panted for, Dob. How the devil can I put my mind to Emmy? I'm bent on doing my duty, gaining my share of honor and distinction.
What about your duty to Emmy? What about that?
Oh, you're right, Dob. I'll confess it. Trying not to think of Emmy.
Why, in heaven's name?
Papa, last night reminded me my connection with her has to be broken off.
And will you break it off?
Her father's bankrupt. She's portionless. Papa vows no dowry, no Emmy.
What do you vow?
Come off it, Will. Don't know. Can't decide. No need to decide now. More important matters at hand. War for king and country. To arms! Dad, this uniform becomes me.
Oh, that poltoon, ladies and gentlemen, is the vain, bombastic, lordly captain, love to distraction, by Amelia Sedley. Let us leave him, for God's sakes, let us leave him, preening before his looking glass, hallooing for the pleasures of war. Well, as soon as ever I recover my balance, dear listeners, we shall attend Miss Becky Sharp.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Van Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Van Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Van Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Van Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clear All commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clear All cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clear All cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clear All to know you're the best you can be.
Becky Sharp sleeps. Oh, how pretty she looks. Little ermine cap canted over one eye. Stray curls peeping out to caress her cheeks. Who save our Becky could sleep whilst driving over rough roads in a noisy carriage? Of a certain Giles cannot, nor will Becky longer.
Miss Becky. Mrs. Crawley. Wake up, miss. Wake up now.
What for? Well, good gracious, are we there?
Oh, we just have passed a sign. Chiswick, it says, and a finger pointing.
Oh, my goodness, I must look a pretty sight.
Oh, you do, if I may say so.
You may not say so.
I meant you look pretty, Miss Becky.
Oh, that you may say, whether true or false. Oh. Almost there, I think of it soon. I suppose it was the sign clearly said Chiswick, Giles.
And a finger pointing.
You cannot read. It could have been the name of any village in the Empire.
It had a C. I know a C when I see it. Don't Chiswick start off with a C?
It does, but so does Carlton, Croton, Cambridge, Castleton, Concord and Avon, and dear knows how many others. I don't recollect one thing along this road. Why did you wake me?
Well, I thought we was near. I thought you'd want I should neaten your hair all tidy and your cap set straight.
Oh, come confess that you were tired of no one to talk with.
Well, it's such a weary long ride, Miss Becky. Be you cross with me?
Oh, not too. We'll ask Fritz where we are. Fritz!
Yes, ma'am.
Are we yet near Chiswick?
No, on to it, miss. Let a chance, if
that. I can read. I can.
So you can.
Oh, my. It must be fine to read books and newspapers and love letters and signs.
Oh, dear Giles, always I've meant to teach you. I will. I vow. We've not Miss Crawley to wait upon. We've time for it. Would you like that?
Oh, miss, I would. I truly would.
Then we shall. We'll begin with those. Oh, look. There's the little stone chapel. We're less than half a mile. Oh, save my cap. I have no looking glass. Yes. I'm guiding my hair. Do nothing. In a few minutes, I'll see Mrs. Ricketts. Oh, Fritz, it's number 6 Cherry Street.
Oh, I know it, Nick.
But what if Mrs. Ricketts is dead?
Oh, why, what a thing to say.
Well, persons do die, don't they, miss?
Well, I hope she's not dead, but if she is, then Mrs. Bute can't ask her nasty questions about me, can she?
But she can if Mrs. Ricketts still be living. Oh, and terrible things your landlady will answer. You said she called
Giles. We're here to tell Mrs. Ricketts what she's exactly to answer. Why, otherwise, did we make this journey?
Oh, what if she don't want to tell lies? What if she'll not say what you say she's to say?
Why must you always think of the dreadful what if?
Well, she mayn't want to please you, is all. Now, you've told me yourself your papa owed a terrible lot of money for lodgings in her house he never hardly ever paid for. And you said you was a deal of trouble to her when you was growing up here.
Oh, do hush. I'll manage, Mrs. There, just ahead. Chizzy. Slow, or we'll have a fine from the constable. Oh, turn left, the next street, the first house.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, it is a pretty little village. Just where you played when you was a wee girl. Oh, I can see you ringing round the rosy with all the other wee little girls.
Oh, no, you can't, but I never did. Oh. As I told Emmy, I've been a woman since I was 8 years old. There's the house.
That fallen down one?
Yes. There we lived high in the garret, Papa and I, and Mama, till she died when I was three.
Whoa, there, whoa, whoa.
There's Mrs. Rickett sweeping the stoop. Oh, dear, how she's aged. Open the door, Giles, open.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Mrs. Rickett, hello, hello, look who's come back.
And who be you, may I ask?
You don't know me?
Never seen you before in my life. What you be wanting here, lady?
I'm no lady, Mrs. Rickett. I'm Becky Sharp.
Well now, Becky Sharp, is it? Started up in Ermine, is little Becky Sharp. Ermine Tippet, Ermine Cap, Ermine Muff. Might have known. Slick and slippery as your father was afore you. Who've you done out of the money to pay for all that, Miss Becky Sharp?
Here now, what have we here? Bless me soul, the Mrs. Rickett I had in mind wasn't this at all, at all.
Oh, well, would I were master of my own novel. Monday, ladies and gentlemen, I, as well as you, may be surprised. I am then as now. Your obedient servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
The Author Studio has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible.
Peg, it's Miss Cranshaw on the phone. This is the night Debbie is babysitting their grandchildren. Honey!
Yes, I know, dear. I'm making a meatloaf. Well, Debbie isn't home yet. What time she expected the Cranshaws?
Oh, I don't know. Just a second. Yeah, hello, Mrs. Cranshaw. What time did you expect Debbie? Oh, I see. Well, she's not home yet, but as soon as she gets in, I'll send her right over. Yes, sure. All right, Miss Cranshaw. Yeah, bye-bye. Where is Debbie?
Oh, I don't know. She's later than usual.
The Cranshaws are going out to dinner at 6:30, and she has told Debbie 7. But now she wants her to come earlier so she can show her what to feed the grandchildren and all that.
Yeah, of course. What time is it now?
6:15. Where do you think she is?
I don't know. It's some girlfriend's house, I suppose.
Better try and get hold of her. After all, it's my boss. I don't want them to think Debbie isn't responsible. You think she remembered she was supposed to babysit tonight?
Well, I have a big sign on her bathroom mirror and one on her door and one on her dresser.
That doesn't mean much, knowing Debbie.
I know.
Did you forget?
No, I didn't. I thought of it yesterday and this morning after Debbie went to school. I mean, I, you know, just forgot the second.
You better try to track her down.
Well, I'm making a meatloaf. My hands are all funny. Here's a list of her girlfriends. Jennifer, Patty, Kathy. Try Kathy first. And if Debbie isn't there, tell Kathy to please call around and see if she can locate her.
All right?
Yeah. Now, she ought to be home soon. She didn't call to say she wasn't coming for dinner. Maybe something after school or something. If she had, I would have remembered about the Cranshaws, you know, and told her.
She better not forget. My boss isn't going to be very happy if he and his wife are left high and dry when they have a dinner date.
Well, I did remind Debbie day before yesterday.
Hello, Mrs.
Tompkins.
Miss Tompkins. This Bob Baxter. I was wondering if my daughter Debbie was at your house with
Kathy.
Kathy. Oh, she's not? Well, is Kathy there? Oh, I see. Yeah, I know. You never know where they are these days. Okay, fine. Yeah, thank you. She's not there, and neither is Kathy.
Well, she's probably Debbie, is that you?
Yes.
Thank heavens you're home.
Why? What's the matter?
Mrs. Cranshaw phoned. Instead of wanting you there to babysit by 7, she wants you there by 6:30.
Well, the meatloaf won't be done, but I'll warm up some chili for you while you get ready to go, Debbie. Well, actually, you don't have to go up and change. I guess you're just babysitting. Well, what's the matter?
Well, that's not tonight.
Yes, it's tonight. I put signs all over your room, Debbie, to remind you.
I can't go.
What do you mean you can't go? You have to go. Mr. Cranshaw's my boss.
Well, I don't care, Daddy. I just can't go.
What do you mean you don't care?
I didn't mean I don't care. I mean I cannot go.
She didn't mean she didn't care, dear. Why can't you go, Debbie?
There isn't any possible reason you can't go. Cranshaw is my boss.
Daddy, they're having tryouts for the class play tonight.
Well, that's too bad, but you'll have to miss them.
Miss the tryouts?
Debbie!
I can't miss them. I sat there all afternoon waiting to be called on to try out, and they never got to me.
Well,
they're trying out the rest of us tonight.
Debbie, if they're camping.
No, I'm sorry, but I have got to be in the class play, and I know I have a very good chance of getting the lead. I know because Mrs. Whitaker told Jimmy that I was the best one in the acting class, and yet she had to try out everybody else anyhow, just that it wouldn't look like favoritism.
Debbie!
So can't you see, Daddy? Oh, please try and understand. Please.
I do understand, but you please try to understand that Mr. Cranshaw is my boss.
Well, can't they get another babysitter?
I'm not going to ask them. You agreed to do it.
Well, I didn't know it was going to be on the same night as tryouts.
I'm sorry, Debbie, but you did agree to babysit, and you can't leave the Cranshaws in the lurch at the last minute.
And in fact, you'll have to leave here in exactly 10 minutes, and you get the Cranshaws by 6:30.
Oh, Debbie.
No, Debbie. No, you accepted the job, and you have to live up to it.
But this is the only time they're having tryouts. It says so on the bulletin board. No exceptions, it says. All tryouts are over today. They wouldn't hold tryouts just for me tomorrow. Oh, let me see if I can get Patty or Jennifer to substitute babysitting for me, okay?
No. If this weren't the man I work for, I'd agree to that. But I don't want Mr. Cranshaw to think that my daughter has no sense of responsibility.
Oh, Daddy.
Besides, you'll earn some money, Debbie.
Oh, money. I don't care about money. That's all people of your generation think about is money. There happen to be more important things in life.
Well, now,
just
look
a minute,
here, young
now,
lady.
Now, there's no time to argue about the merits of having some money. Now, you get ready to leave, Debbie, and I will drive to your school tonight and explain to Miss whatever her name is why you're not there.
Well, they don't care. They said no excuses, not even sickness.
Why is it when the school makes a rule, no excuses, it's got more teeth than when your own father says no excuses?
Please, dear, not now. When you're funny, Debbie, I will explain to the teacher.
Oh, that makes me look like a baby, my mother running in to explain.
Look, make up your mind. If you say anything more, I won't go. You want me to go or not?
Yes,
all right.
But it won't do any good. I won't even get in the play.
Oh.
I don't know why parents can never understand anything. This play was going to be my one big chance.
Oh, dear, the dramatics. I suppose I could go and babysit for her.
What, are you crazy? How would it look?
Oh, yes.
My wife babysitting for my boss's grandchildren? And Debbie darn well better be pleasant over there, too.
Thank you.
Why don't you go to bed? There's no sense both of us sitting up.
No, I can't imagine the Cranshaws staying out so late. It's nearly 2 a.m. But why don't we call over there?
No, we just wake up their grandchildren, probably.
You know, kids don't wake up at that age. They're about 4 and 6.
I don't like Debbie driving home this late, that's for sure.
Boy, such a to-do over nothing tonight.
Well, it wasn't nothing, really. I understand how she felt about trying out for the play. It is important, dear.
It's also important that kids remember when they agree to do something.
I know. Well, I called her after I got back from the school, you know.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me you'd called her.
Oh, I guess you were upstairs taking a shower when I got back. Anyway, I told her Miss Whittaker said Debbie could try out in her office tomorrow, so Debbie felt a lot better. Miss Whittaker is very nice.
I don't know why Debbie gets so hysterical about things.
Well, probably takes after me. Well, oh, there she is turning in the driveway now. Thank goodness. Why don't you go on up to bed, honey? She's home safe.
No, I want to wait and see how she managed, feeding the children and all that. I hope she was gracious to the Cranshaws.
Debbie's always gracious and divinely charming to everybody but us. People are always saying what a lovely girl she is, such lovely manners, so sweet. What a comfort she must be to us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's all right. We worried about you. How'd it go?
Yeah. Oh, fine.
Good.
I'm so sorry I was unpleasant before, but I was...
never mind that now, dear. We do understand things, whether you seldom think we do or not.
Oh, I know.
Take off your overshoes.
Am I tired? Daddy, those grandchildren of your boss are so spoiled. They wouldn't eat. They literally threw their food all over. And Mrs. Cranshaw kept saying, boys will be boys. They're really just darlings. The Cranshaws were all dressed up in their evening clothes, and then Billy threw a spoonful of chocolate pudding at Mrs. Cranshaw.
Oh, no.
Landed right on her dress.
Oh,
and all she said was, no, Billy, dear, you mustn't do that.
What did she do? Have to change her dress?
Yes, I tell you. If they had been my kids, I would have walloped them.
Well, it's not easy to bring up children, Debbie, dear.
Well, you certainly should teach them some sense of discipline.
Uh-huh. Well, when you have your own children,
well, they won't behave like that, I can tell you. When I was getting them ready for bed, they squirted toothpaste all over the bathroom.
Oh.
Then they turned a whole box of bath powder upside down in the bedroom.
Oh, well, I hope you didn't scold them now. It's not your business, Debbie.
Well, listen, Mom, after a while, I had it. I gave them both a swat on the rear, plopped them into bed, and told them if I heard another word out of them, I was going to cut their heads off.
Debbie! Why,
they shut up. Not another word out of them.
Why, that was a terrible thing to say.
Why? It worked.
Well, they may have nightmares forever. What am I going to say to my boss when he tells me they said you threatened to cut off their grandchildren's heads off? Good Lord, Debbie.
Daddy, you don't have to worry. I told him myself when they came home.
You didn't?
I did. And Mr. Cranshaw laughed. He said, did it work? And I said, like a charm. And he said to Mrs. Cranshaw, you see, dear, you spoil them. They need somebody like Debbie.
No kidding.
Really? Still, honey, threatening to cut their heads off. I must say, Debbie, that really,
well,
I think, was a bit extreme.
Listen to this.
What?
The Cranshaws are taking their grandchildren on a trip to Barbados this spring,
mm-hmm.
and they will go when I have my Easter vacation if I will go along as a babysitter.
No! I don't believe
it. I'm just kidding. Well, wonderful.
I don't know if I could stand those kids for a whole week, but the money is good.
Oh, I thought you didn't care about money.
$200 plus all expenses paid? I care. Now I've got to get to bed. Thanks, Mom, for going to the school.
Sure.
Did Mrs. Whittaker think I had a chance for the lead?
She didn't say. She just smiled and patted my arm and said you had talent.
Oh.
Now let us all go to bed. All's well that ends well, huh?
Well, I got some theories tonight about bringing up children.
Well, Debbie, let me tell you one thing. It's easier to bring up other people's children than it is your own.
Really?
Yes,
I don't think I've been very difficult to bring up, have I?
Out of the mouth of babes.
Oh, the first thing you have to do is put your foot down.
Oh,
hey, what are you laughing at?
I know we share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This is your cold day. You sneeze first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought four-way nasal spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought four-way for me, too. And think how much we can save on four-way with all the colds you get.
You mean all the colds you give me?
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Dan Roll-On Antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal. The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Dan Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Robert, have another piece of coffee cake.
I'm tempted, sorely tempted.
I promise not to tell Caroline.
Oh, she'll know anyway.
She reads your mind?
Of course, like any good wife.
You certainly were lucky to find her.
Yes, that's what she keeps telling me.
You were a widower for 5 years, weren't you?
Yes, after Margaret...
You mean after she died?
Yes.
You know, I never could understand why people are so afraid to say died and death.
Emily...
Robert, it's a fact.
Yes, well, there's no reason to dwell on it.
Someone wrote that we should meditate on death daily so as to give our lives more meaning.
I don't believe that.
When did you think about remarrying, Robert?
Oh, I don't know, Emily.
Well, you weren't against it, were you?
Well, at first I was. We'd had such a good life, I felt that no one could take her place, and...
What changed your mind?
Oh, meeting Caroline, we hit it off right away.
Well, you didn't have any young children to consider.
No, Lynn was 15, and Jason, well, you two were married, of course.
So... I know, we worried about you being alone. You could have used some help with Lynn.
We managed.
What do you hear from her?
Oh, she and Kurt are having a great time, although how an unemployed ski bum can really enjoy himself, I'll never know.
When do they get back from Aspen?
Probably very fast, particularly when they hear of Caroline's plan to put Kurt to work.
Well, he might do a good job, Robert. The preliminaries for a project like the clinic are backbreaking. They require a lot of energy. I don't think Kurt's lazy.
I hope I can talk Caroline out of it.
I thought you always said what Caroline wanted to do with her money was her business.
Well, Emily, I just can't stand by and let her make such a serious mistake.
How's it going, Finch?
Oh, fine, Angela. I've just finished the morning medication.
Oh,
Dr. Carter wants to see you.
Yes? Oh. You'll be all right for a little while?
No problem.
Oh, come on in, Angela.
Fish said you wanted to see me.
Yes, we didn't have a chance to talk about Susie last night.
Yes. How was she today?
She's all right. I guess breakfast time is not very good for ironing out the night before.
I guess not.
What happened last night?
Well, she's worried about Emily, and she's sure we're all keeping something from her.
Nothing more than that?
How much more do you want?
Angela, what's the matter?
Well, Susie's very observant.
No. I mean with you.
Well, there's nothing the matter with me.
Well, something's gone wrong between us.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, I don't believe that. It's almost as though... Well, to put it very simply, you've decided you'd rather not be friends.
Oh, no, that's not true,
I'm not making it up, Angela. There's suddenly a wall between us.
We're both worried about Emily.
If anything, that should bring us closer together.
What more do you want from me, Jason? I see Emily every day. I stayed with Jennifer last night.
I'm not talking about them. Now, will you look at me, please?
Don't touch me, please.
What is the matter? Now, there's something bothering you, and I want to know what it is.
Please, Jason, please. I've just got to go now. I really do.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. FinalNet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of FinalNet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. FinalNet, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in the 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735. And get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back.
That's all I said, Dad. And the next thing she said was, I've got to go, and slammed out.
I don't know. That's very strange. We should have taken a cab, Jason.
No. Oh, we'll get to the club sooner this way, Dad. Besides, the exercise won't hurt either one of us.
I don't know. Fighting pedestrian traffic isn't much exercise.
Well, wait a minute. The light's changing.
It's terribly unfair.
What now?
Here we are, respectable, hard-working men dealing with noise and grit in the city, and Kurt Rogers, international layabout, is enjoying the clean air and peaceful calm of a ski resort.
Oh, would you really want to change places with him, Dad?
No, hardly.
Well, then, what are you talking about?
I wouldn't care what he did if he weren't married to my daughter.
Well, that is very obvious.
And to top it off, Caroline proposes that we give him a cushy job supervising the organization of her children's clinic. Yeah, it's preposterous.
Dad, I don't get it. You think he should go to work, and when Caroline offers... Oh, come on, the light's changed. Offers him a job at something he might be good at, you object.
Well, Jason, I'm not so sure he'd be good at it.
Well, Dad, you said he had a degree in business administration.
Have you taken a good look lately at some of the people who are getting college degrees?
All right, Dad. Now, why don't you just save your worry until you find out whether first Joe Gonzalez will head up the medical end of the clinic, and second, whether Kurt will accept the job.
Oh, you jump at it, which so clearly indicates the difference between Kurt and Dr. Gonzalez. Dr. Gonzalez is considering Caroline's offer very carefully.
And he happens to be a very good doctor. I almost hope he refuses Caroline's offer. We need him at Jefferson. Oh, here we are.
Good afternoon, Mr. Carter. Dr. Carter?
Hi.
Here, let me hold the door for you.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much, man. It's a pleasure to come in here. So civilized.
Well, on the road to civilization, Dad, it was only at the last general meeting that they finally rejected the WASP-only rule for membership.
Let me fix you another drink, Angela.
Oh, no, thanks, Marsh. I'm not much of an afternoon drinker.
We're in your apartment. Who's to know?
I will. I don't know what got into me. You know, I've never left the hospital in the middle of the day before.
I saw your face when you came out of Jason's office.
I didn't see you.
No, I know.
Oh, Marsh. Again, you to the rescue.
Don't you think you should take some leave?
Am I really that bad?
No, of course not. But you do need some peace and quiet to sort things out for yourself.
I don't know what that means, Marsh.
You're in conflict, Angela, in some way. Surely you recognize that.
It's just Emily.
No! Well, it's got to be more than that.
I can't believe... I can't see what life would be like for all of us when she's gone.
Don't look so far ahead. Live today for today.
How much time does she have, Marge?
It's very hard to tell. Maybe months, maybe even years.
And what will Jason do?
What do you mean, after?
Yes.
He'll live as best he can. That's all any of us can do, Angela. In the time we have, in the place we are, we live.
Oh, Marsh, I've done so little of
that. I know. We all limit ourselves or allow limits to be placed by others.
You too?
Oh, yes. Sometimes I see my life stretching out ahead of me, narrow and confined, a one-way street.
After what you just said about living life?
Understanding is not the same thing as doing.
And risking?
Yes.
Oh. And taking chances?
Yes. Using your life the way you want to?
Let me think a minute, please.
All right. I'm not going to persuade you.
Huh. That's not it, Marsh.
It's not nobility on my part. I just don't think it would work.
Or it would be too much work?
Yes.
Then it's up to me, huh?
It always has been.
I wonder, really, how much free choice.
Well, then that's it.
Don't go, Marsh.
What?
Stay. Stay with me as long as you can.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.